Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 11:49 p.m. That is Dubai time. And when we look at what's going on Wall Street, then the VIX has popped on the upside. So it has broken the progression of lower rally highs. It's confirming support in the region of the upper side of the range that we saw for the vast majority of last year. And it suggests that we are definitely still in a corrective phase. One thing that I think is worth highlighting that when we look at the much lengthier chart, then there are three things that we can deduce from the VIX. The first is that when we get lows, that they are a much less reliable predictor of tops than the peaks are of bottoms. So that's certainly one thing. But also that when you get a spike on the upside, that when the volatility comes back down, it takes a while for it to settle down again afterwards, and that you can stay at elevated levels for upwards of a few months or even 6 months after that initial spike up towards 50. That was certainly the case in 2010 and in 2011 and in 2015 and early 2016. So it is reasonable to expect that the volatility is going to be higher for at least the next 6 months. And what that suggests is that we are at best in a ranging environment for Wall Street. And when we look at the Dow, it was down approximately 400 points in here today. That's not least because President Trump is announcing tariffs on steel and aluminium. Well, the Dow Jones got up to 26,000, or just below it, 3 days ago, and now it has pulled back. It's broken the progression of higher reaction lows off that low that we saw in early February, and now the question is how well will it find support above or in the region of that low. The Dow Jones was the index that had accelerated most, and therefore it was at risk of pulling back. It has certainly done that. One thing that we have to at least pay some heedance to is the fact that we expect a medium-term trend to become progressively more consistent because it attracts progressively more people, and people get converted to the bullish hypothesis the longer a trend persists for. That's exactly what happened with the Dow Jones. It was exactly what happened with gold in 2010 and 11 as well. And then you get a massive reaction against the prevailing trend, 11% in the space of 2 days or 2 weeks, and now we are getting the first sign that the market is rolling over, and that now the question is how well will it find support in the region of the trend mean. That reaction back in 2015 was approximately 15%, and then the one that we saw from trough to peak in 2011 was about 20%. This one so far is 11% from peak to trough, and the big question is whether it is going to find support in the region of the trend mean, or whether we are going to have a deeper correction. And it is that is an uncertainty. There is no way to answer that question right now. One thing that has certainly been at the back of my mind, and I wonder, do I still have the chart open? I don't. Was I posted this chart in Comment of the Day about 2 weeks ago, and it was the number of times that healthy correction had popped up in news items, and it had surged. Well, when everybody is writing or thinking about healthy correction, what that tells you is they're long. That if you are not long, and then you're probably not thinking of it as a healthy correction. But you want to think of it as a healthy correction if you've got a long position already. So we know that this market had been going up for a long time. Lots of people were long. They were long and leveraged. That is what's contributing to the relative strength of the yen at the present time. So that suggests to me that we're getting some leverage coming out of the system. This is the unwinding of carry trades. And the yen was a little bit firmer in here again today. But the more important point is that it is confirming resistance for the dollar in the region of 108, and 108 had been a previous area of support. So the dollar is going to have to rally smartly, and sustain a move above 108 to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Against that background, it's putting the relative strength of the yen is putting pressure on the stock market indices, and the Topix Banks was at a new reaction low in here today. Well, I have been on the record saying that I think that the Japanese banks will benefit from the return of inflation, but we're in a corrective phase for stock markets, and that is not what people are concerned with right now. They're much more concerned with deleveraging, and that is also helping to support the government bond prices for the US. So Treasury yields were pulling back by about 5 basis points in here today, and continuing to pause below this psychological 3% level. This suggests to me that there is potential that some of the short-term overbought condition on yields will be unwound. But the much bigger question or point is that there's a great deal of additional supply coming to the market. The central bank is buying less of them, and in fact has stopped buying, and is reducing the size of its balance sheet, and that throws the onus for buying them onto other parties. So they are quite likely to ask for a higher return in order to soak up all that additional supply. There is almost twice as much supply that needs to be refinanced in new issuance in 2018 versus 2017, and it goes up again next year and again in 2020, and it'll be almost $3 trillion by the time it gets to 2021. So this is a lot of bonds that need to be refinanced, and it is looking increasingly likely that yields are going to be moving higher. Well, Jerome Powell was on was making statements in here today saying that he doesn't see any evidence that the US economy is overheating. He's also saying that the likelihood is that there are going to be interest rate hikes this year. So when we look at the 2-year, which has been rapidly pricing in additional rate hikes, then it has got priced in a lot more of a rate hike over the course of the last 6 months than it had done previously, but it is a bit overbought relative to the trend mean. So even in an environment where people are anticipating that there will be additional rate hikes, this has been a straight line move, and it lost consistency about 3 weeks ago. So I think we are in for some pause and consolidation in this decline in 2-year bond prices and the advance in yields. Then when we look at what's going on in China, so far the fact is that the stock market is largely politically motivated. So we have not had a big decline so far on the A-share index, but neither is it pushing back above the trend mean. And considering that it had been really quite inert with a very mild upward bias for almost 2 full years, that was the biggest downward dynamic we've seen since the beginning of 2016 in February. And now the big question is whether we're not going to see a further test of underlying trading. Then when we look at the H-share index, well, this is an index that got all the way up to the upper side of its range, and now it is it has paused in the region of the trend mean, but that was the biggest downward dynamic that we've seen in a fair amount of time, and now it's coming back towards the 12,000 level. It will have to hold the region of the trend mean if the progression of higher reaction lows is to hold, and the potential for additional upside is to be given the benefit of the doubt. Personally, I think that China is increasingly a risky market, and to the same extent that one should really have a stop when trading in Japan because of the risk of a major earthquake in Tokyo, then one has to. How do you hedge against the political risk that we now have in China, where the rules can change overnight simply by the stroke of a pen? So I think that that is something that is I'm still processing in terms of my view towards China, because there is a question there as to whether it's any longer an investable market, that the standards of governance are declining, and that is opening up big questions here. And, you know, when we think about the absolute value or the absolute level of governance, then it's going to be different for every country, because every country is in a slightly different state of development. But why do I personally feel more sanguine about the prospects for Africa than I do currently about China? It's because in the majority of countries in Africa, the standards of governance are very low, but they are improving. Well, standards of governance in China have never been particularly high, and they are declining, and that is a pretty major consideration. The Indian market was relatively quiet in here today. Then, when we look at Indonesia, well, Indonesia was an early leader. It bottomed in 2008, and it has got somewhat of an overbought condition relative to the trend mean, and it's unlikely to be completely able to avoid the selling pressure we're seeing on Wall Street. So it wouldn't be beyond the bounds of possibility that we see some consolidation here, but as long as trading above the trend mean, I don't think anyone's going to be particularly worried about it. Then in Australia, when we look at this index, it has got, this is a second lower high. It's right in the region of this 6,000 level. It will have to continue to hold the region of the trend mean if potential for a breakout later in the quarter is to be given the benefit of the doubt. Well, because we have seen quite a bit of flux in the commodity complex as a result of these tariffs, also because of the corrective phase that we're in, and what I find interesting is that it wasn't simply platinum that was pulling back yesterday, but also palladium. And palladium prices have pulled back now to the region of the trend mean. This is the biggest reaction that they've had in at least 2 years. And a sustained move below that trend mean would confirm that we have a peak of more than short-term significance and potentially medium-term significance. So I think that's a major trend inconsistency so far, and prices are going to have to bounce pretty smartly to question that this isn't an evolving top formation. Then when we look at platinum prices, they are now right back in the region of the trend mean, but this has confirmed resistance around the $1,000 level. And when we think about the impact that the diesel ban is going to have on catalytic converter demand for diesel engines, then that is certainly going to affect the platinum price. So that was the primary reason I sold my position yesterday. And I think that it is going to have to rally smartly to confirm that demand is returning to dominance. Otherwise, there is the real potential that we could see new lows for the platinum price, at which point it would probably be viewed as value once more. Then when we look at the oil price, well, oil has been bouncing from this $60 area, and I think that there is the realistic possibility that the premium that Brent trades at over West Texas Intermediate will probably close now that we have U.S. exports, and U.S. exports will be ramping up considering that prices are still reasonably attractive. But the low around $60 will have to hold if people are to continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. This is a lower high, and when we look at the consistency of the trend off those lows in June, we've just had the biggest reaction in all of that time, and now we have a lower high. The big question is now whether that low from the middle of or the early part of February is going to hold. If it fails to hold, well, then the prospect of $60 holding will, I think, be less likely. So we are certainly still in a corrective phase, and the number of instruments that are being looped through into it is expanding, because some of the risk is coming off the table. We are in a process of deleveraging if the yen is continuing to rally. And then when we look at, for example, the NASDAQ 100, which got all the way back up to its peak, well, at least some people would have reached the conclusion that following the big drawdown that we had in February, it was probably time to start taking some money off the table if it got back up to the 7,000 level. That's exactly what's happened. And, for example, Apple is very much approximating that perspective. It got right up to the region of its peak, and now we're seeing the first evidence of people taking some money off the table, having had that really impressive short covering rally. Well, it was in the social media sector, among the mega cap technology shares, it was Facebook that had the biggest trend deterioration in February, and it was down an additional $2.66 in here today. It's bounced from the region of the trend mean on every single occasion since 2013, and it's right around that region right now. So this is a particularly interesting time to be monitoring it, because if it can sustain the region of the trend mean, well then, this is still a consistent advance. But if it fails, well then, we would have to conclude that we have a peak of at least near and potentially medium-term significance, and it could be a while before it moves up to take out that $200 area, which is a rather large psychological level. And from the perspective of the high-yield sector, Tesla is continuing to pull back from this $360 area. Tesla is a B-minus rated credit. They don't make any money, and it's at an elevated valuation. They survive because there is abundant access to liquidity. They're even booking the deposits that people have put down for their Model 3s as profits. So they have gone to every available source of additional supply and capital, and the price has stopped going up. And if it sustains a move below 300, well, that is going to confirm that we're in a supply-dominated environment. And because it is a high-yield company that benefited enormously from access to cheap liquidity, if Tesla is breaking down, well, then that is also an indication that we are potentially at an important, or approaching an important peak in the market. And the other really big technology company that did fantastically well because of access to cheap liquidity is Netflix. It has gone right up to test the $300 area, and we're starting to see some pause around it right now, but not in any way of a dynamic manner. And really, a sustained move below 240 would be required to confirm that we're in a supply-dominated environment, but by the same token, I think it's unlikely that it's going to go above 300, and that we are at least now in a slower period of advance. If Netflix starts declining in a big way, well, then that is also going to be, I think, a canary in the coal mine for the debt-fueled liquidity binge that has helped these kinds of companies to prosper over the course of the last decade. So we are still in a corrective phase. There are two big arguments. One is that the short volatility bull market is over, and we're getting deleveraging as a result of that, and that is putting downward pressure on stocks. The other argument is that this is still an earnings-driven advance, that the tax cuts are very meaningful in terms of earnings, and that valuations have improved, so that should help to support prices. Those two arguments are generally balancing each other out, so we could probably have a range. I continue to think that the most likely scenario is a range, but that we are going to have a more volatile environment, and that could potentially give us a bigger range than we have seen so far. And I'll be back in Los Angeles after the close tomorrow, so depending on just how jet-lagged I am, I may either record the video tomorrow, or I'll do it on Saturday morning. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.